Is
All right, welcome back to the NAFTA podcast. First off, first things first, boys. Big week of footy ahead of us. We got to give a little shout out to our editing podcast connoisseur, the man, the myth, the legend, John Whitaker, ran the New York City Marathon. Congratulations. I did lose a bet on you, however, which still is pissing me off because you quit at some point, but you picked it back up and you finished off. So good job, John. Anything you guys want to say about the marathon? I've never ran one. Have either of you guys done any athletic feats?
I've done a half, if that counts for anything.
Same. No, it doesn't.
Well, my thought was at 13 miles, who the hell wants to run another 13? So good for John on that.
Absolutely.
I will say, if we are going to give him shit, he was way off the pace he said he was going to be running at, which was very disappointing. I thought he was built different, as he told us he is not.
Yeah, he was texting us during the marathon, which I was under the assumption you weren't allowed to have your phone.
I thought he was watching the Liverpool Luton game while he was running, is what it seemed like.
That's actually not a bad idea. Like, if you got a good slate of games, you know, the early to like 1:30 games, you just watch games the whole time you're running. But he was going through it, and he was texting me. And he's like, "Dude, I'm dying," and I was like, "All right, man. Like, you've been training though. Like, let's go. Come on, fight through." Nick, go ahead.
Dylan, one, don't shortchange yourself. Dylan ran a half marathon with a torn meniscus.
That's crazy.
Dislocated knee. It wasn't a torn.
Dislocated knee. Sorry, I knew it was something like that.
I don't know which one's worse.
But I was looking at John. I was following John's times, and I was like, when I was asking him how long, you know, what mile he died on. I had a joke in my head, but I'm like, I can't really talk. I'm sitting here eating an ice cream cone. He just ran a full marathon.
Oh, like, yeah.
I was watching my friend years ago. They finished second in the CrossFit games. He used to own a CrossFit gyms. And I'm eating Domino's hungover, and I'm watching him do all these, you know,
ridiculous
whatever
things.
Those moves are. I just took a selfie of myself in front of him eating Domino's. I'm like, you're a much better human than me. So, John, you're a much better than human me. I was having a drink and ice cream last night when you were running. So I'm proud,
dude,
of you, buddy.
It was just crazy because I was sitting there with Morgan and we're watching his pace, and Morgan's like getting notified. She's like, he just did 15. He just did 18. And I said, it was like he had to keep running at like a 10:45 pace, like max. And he was like at 10:20, 10:25. And I was like, he'll finish before 4:40, like PM, like not, you know, like time, like 4 hours, 40 minutes, no shot. And then I look at like the next time and it's like 11:20. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, something happened. You know, he's like, there's a hill or whatever. But he said he was just dying after. But anyway, all jokes aside, good job, John. He's our pop culture guy for the most part. He pushes that. Dylan, I know you're a big pop culture guy, but surprisingly, our pop culture segment is going to come from Nick today. Nick, what do you got for us?
So you guys know the guy in France, William Still, who's managing Rennes and has, you know, just learned by playing Football Manager.
Yes.
Did you see what happened to them over the weekend?
Please inform me.
He was serving a touchline ban and had to sit in the stands. So his brother managed the club this weekend, and they won 1-0.
Holy fuck. What on earth is happening?
Does that mean he's a system coach? Like,
yeah, actually, is he replaceable?
I mean, don't.
Seems like it.
This guy's your age. He's 31, and this is what this guy's doing. Like, I think we weren't allowed to have video games growing up. Like, Mom, you deprived us of a potential football managing career in Europe.
That's, see, there you go. Good logic. I mean,
a friend of the pod, Hank, plays it all the time. Like, I'm just imagining Hank taking over Everton and, like, leading them to mid-table. And, like, it just being like, oh, this is all they need to do at this point.
Dude, isn't there, like, a little bit of argument that if you do that, you're kind of just letting, because like the players aren't going to respect like a schmuck, right? So like if you just go in there, you're kind of just like let the boys play, and like depending on the team, I mean, I think Nick, to a degree, with like the end of some of your managers, that's kind of how things were going, right?
What was that? Sorry, I cut out for a second.
God, what a backhanded compliment.
I'm just saying, like,
managers and they.
Well, I was just saying, like, end of Ole, right? Like, players were just kind of fucking around.
Yeah, yeah, you know, you really got to go there. You know, I'm having a nice Monday.
And all right.
You really got to just.
Sorry about that. Anyway, we'll go to Dudes of the Week. Now, this is a seamless transition. Again, John was our transition guy. I will, since I don't have anybody yet, and I usually just do this off the top of my head, I know Nick was preparing. We'll go Nick, Dylan, and then myself. So Nick, start us off.
All right. I'm gonna make a homer pick first. Facundo Pellistri, the man that made the goal happen to throw glitter on top of an absolute pig of a game. The dude just plays his ass off and just literally just ran around pressing, and forced mistakes to get the ball to Bruno. I want him to play more. Obviously, I'll get into this later, but he should be playing on the right wing a lot more. He should be giving a good run. That made me really happy, and he hasn't gotten any credit for what he did.
Shout out to Pellistri. Dylan?
I'm going to go with our boy Ange for the fact that Nick, I think, just entered the game watching it at this point. I have never seen a high line start at midfield, and it was electric. So I just, due to a week of being down two guys and having your goalkeeper play center back, essentially a sweeping center back, and just saying, screw it, we're still going to go and try and win this game, was legendary. So
shout out to Ange. You're still a great guy, a little bit of a hypocrite at those post-match comments. We'll get into it. Dylan, this is not directed to you in any way. My dude of the week is Cameron Archer. Sorry. Chris Archer's was a pitcher for the Rays. Nasty goal. Just a gross finish on that first goal for Sheffield United. Again, overshadowed by a lot of very questionable decisions in general. And then I'm going to go back-to-back with my second one, not Sheffield United, but another pick I had last week, Luis Diaz coming off the bench, scoring the tying goal for us against Luton. Had his shirt on, honoring his dad. FA not going to fine him for pulling his shirt up. Congratulations to him.
Okay, you.
It would have been crazy. What an insane thing to do.
Did I see his dad's still not released yet, though?
Thought they found him.
But they weren't releasing him yet, I thought.
They know, I don't know anything about, like, the Colombian, Venezuelan, anything regarding, like, kidnapping shit, whatever. But I know that they know, they're like, oh, we didn't know we had Luis Diaz's dad. And that they're like, we're definitely going to let him go. And I guess they're working to do that right now. But yeah, so I think they're like, yeah, we're not going to hurt him. Like, we just got to find a way to let him go and not get us arrested or some shit like that. I don't know. But shout out to him for playing even. Like, that'd be pretty crazy. Agreed. Dylan, back to you.
You know what? We'll do this for John. Jeremy Doku, 4 assists, 1 goal, no big deal. Like, it's the gift that keeps on giving to people that don't need more gifts down the wing, and it's unfortunate. But he's going to be a nightmare for us for a while in this league, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think youngest player with 5 goal involvements, youngest player with 4 assists in a game. So shout out to him. Nick?
Sorry for this, Michael, but going to keep it United themed. Going to have to go with Tahith Chong. Gets his first Premier League goal. Just really excited to see him score. I've always liked him. I don't know if he was good enough for United, but I don't think he ever really got a fair shot either. Just a king of loans. Just made me happy to see him score.
You got a back-to-backer.
Yeah, and sticking with goals, we're going to go with giving up goals. My dudes of the week, this is going to encompass 20 different people. League 2 defensive strategists. If you take a look at the goals for and goals against, I don't know if you give credit to the offensive coaches, but the defensive guys, almost every team is averaging giving up almost 1.5 goals a game.
Hell yeah.
And Yeah, and there's only three teams through 16 games that have double-digit goal differences. Everything is six is plus six is the next highest. Everything's within plus three to minus five. So defense, totally optional. So might be worth getting the League Two package this year.
It's definitely exciting. Dylan, your final pick.
I'm gonna go with Anthony Elanga. I don't know if you got to catch any of the Naughty Forest Villa game, but though he didn't show up on the stat sheet, he was, in my opinion, the one moving the counter along and kind of making a lot of the threats happen for Nottingham Forest, where, you know what, I'm just happy he found a home in a red jersey. So really happy for him.
Good for him, as always. My final pick, I was trying to find out who the hell this guy is. The first ever referee pick in a soccer game in the history. Whoever was reffing was it LAFC in Vancouver?
Oh geez.
Yeah.
It had to be, right? Like, it was, did they chalk the goal off?
No.
Yeah, they did. It was offsides.
Okay. I was going
to
say.
At the end, it was offsides.
Because you can literally go to this Vancouver versus LAFC game. 90 plus one yellow card, 90 plus four yellow card, 90 plus four yellow card, 90 plus five red card to the coach of Vancouver. Dude is winding up to crush the ball. Last seconds of the game, just give him a chance, and the ref just body checks him out of the way. LAFC go down to score a goal. Obviously it doesn't count, but they still end up losing 1-0. Just classic MLS.
At the end of the play.
I'm watching it again. Oh, God. Because there's not a goalkeeper. There's not a second. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
You can't pass forward. Wow.
No. There was a defender, but you have to have a defender and the goalie.
Right. So now that it's just the goalie, he would have had to pass it backwards. Because then if he passed forward at all, it's offsides.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. So I didn't realize that. I was just too busy going back and rewatching the open ice hit. That the ref
is so good.
Put on to
it. It is truly peak MLS. I love it. Like, things are very CONCACAF. That's very CONCACAF. That's very MLS. Last dude of the week. This is just for John. Ohio University dudettes of the week, I guess. Ohio University women's soccer team winning their first MAC title. We love MACtion in the state of Ohio. Definitely, we have so many MAC schools. So shout out to them as well. All right, dudes of the week out of the way. Our shut up and dribble segment out of the way as well. We're going to go on to the games. We're doing a little different because Michael has the reins, obviously. We're going to start with the game that's fresh in our heads, the most exciting game of the week. Chelsea went to Tottenham and won 4-1. I would read through this list of goal scorers. It's mostly Nicholas Jackson. Believe it or not, he had a hat trick. But it's way more funny if I just read this instead. This is the rundown of the game. Kulusevski scored the first goal. Then Son had a goal ruled out, offsides. Destiny Udogie avoids a red card. Romero avoids a red card as well. Sterling's goal ruled out. So that's two goals ruled out now, two red cards avoided. Caicedo had a goal that was ruled out. On that play, Christian Romero actually did get a red card that time. And it was in the box, so it's a penalty for Palmer, who equalizes. Then Nicholas Jackson offsides for a goal. Mickey van de Ven pulls his hamstring. Madison taken off, so they're both taken off after that. And then Reece James elbows the shit out of, I think it was Destiny Udogie, right? Wasn't it? That he went up for a header with? And I think that was just the first half, right?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, truly... truly insane. Second half.
I have to admit that when I got in the car and I looked at this, because we had a faculty meeting and stuff and all this stuff, and I get in the car and I see, 1-1, that's cool. I'm like, let me go see what DraftKings got. And it says Spurs plus 7,000. I go, fuck it. I'll throw 10 bucks on this.
You should have been so suspect.
And I was like, it's like, oh, shit.
Yes, you're a fool. Postecoglou also had a yellow card in the first half. 12 minutes of stoppage time. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yellows and a red. Destiny Udogie picked it up in the second half. Second yellow card. He got sent off. Nicholas Jackson scored a goal. And then at the aforementioned insane line that Postecoglou was running was just Nicholas Jackson was just running through everybody scoring goals. Like, he started halfway. There's no way he could have been offsides. I guess that's the perfect way for him to score. But Chelsea do get a big win away at Spurs 4-1. I mean, if there was any game to look at and just say, we don't fucking need VAR, it had to be this one, right?
Yeah. It's a shame because this game was about, like, I guess in a sense it was a chaotic banger, but like this game was already about to become a banger where Spurs were going to run away with it, to be completely honest. Like, they were by far the better team. Son was off by maybe like a fraction of a millimeter. And even on Cancelo's goal that came back, like, that was a fraction. And then I guess the handball to an extent on Sterling was fair, but like even still, like, we saw 10 goals in that game, and we, like, it's a shame that not all 10 actually counted. Like, it would have been way more fun.
Dude, Eric Dier's goal was crazy. My man volleyed that off a cross basically, and he was offside. It sucked.
And it would have made it 2-2 at that point. Like, just let the boys play. Like, I think there was a total, they said it was a total of 112 minutes of play with all the extra time as well. Like,
I think 111 technically, like, by the number, but I think it was more than that.
It was absurd. Like I said before, though, like, the fact that Tottenham still, like, was like, we're down to 9 men and we're still going to go for it. And then the fact that Chelsea still couldn't score. I think it said, like, to be honest, even though Chelsea won, I think I'd be more frustrated as a Chelsea fan than I am a Spurs fan. Outside of the fact that I'm sure there's the Spurs fan saying that this is the start of their collapse, I truly don't think that's the case. But, like,
the Spurs played well.
I think they did. Like, I would actually be more upset if I was a Chelsea fan for the fact that it took until, like, the 80th minute for them to actually score. And the fact that it almost ended up a tie until the end when Spurs clearly were just like, screw it, let's just go for it and see what happens.
This is what it takes for Chelsea to score 4 goals. Like, this is what it takes. And I agree that I say that. I can't throw stones in a glass house. But this is what it takes for them to make this happen. I mean, what Spurs did is something that I would do as a freshman coach, where it's like, sometimes you're just like, screw it. Like, let's just go for it and do something a little crazy, because that's just kind of what you do. Not in the top tier professional league in the world. And Michael, we were talking before, you said, I didn't see the post game. You said he explained his reasoning for that.
He explained it in only how Ange could explain it. He literally said, this is who we are, mate. You know, like, who cares? Like, we're always going to play. As long as I'm here,
we're going to go for it.
Yeah, as long as I'm here, we're always going to go for it.
I respect that. I do.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Like, you know, if you're really, like, Spurs aren't going to, I mean, I guess either way, goal difference matters. But, like, brother, you lost. You're going to lose. Especially when the third one went in, like, definitely who cares? You know what I mean? And, you know, if you're down 2-1, if you don't try, you're not going to tie the game or do whatever. So, the only thing, so I actually think the first Romero red card where he kicks the shit out of Colwell, I think that's a red card.
So I think it was a love tap, and with how the game was going and someone who had Spurs over 1.5 goals at that moment in time, I was like, let that just sit. However, the Wolves did get a red card for something exactly like that with Bellegarde, like, literally 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago. So, like, I don't disagree. Like, taking me wanting to win my bet, which clearly didn't happen, like, I do agree with you on the first one.
So, but I also think, again, it's a precedent that when you send Curtis Jones off for a red card that one game, Romero did, like, the exact same thing and actually got the red card. And now everyone's complaining that he got the ball first and then it was the follow-through. I don't think that's a red card either, but that one was called a red card and the other one wasn't.
if that wasn't a red card, then the past two penalties that the Wolves conceded shouldn't have counted either. Sorry, well, there's a lot of gripes on my side, so
you guys are just getting absolutely. I think they're checking Gary O'Neill right now. They're like, okay, you want to keep talking, brother? It can make this hurt real bad. and then the Destiny Udogie, you know, he got two yellows, but I thought he definitely should have got a red.
Well, the second one was definitely are you talking about the first challenge?
I'm talking about the off the ground, both boots in the air challenge that he did not get a red card for.
I think it would have been a red if he actually really clipped Sterling. I think that's why it was a yellow, because I don't think he got all of them. I think he just got a little sliver. I know that's subjective, but I think that's the reason why.
So is that why Kai Havertz also didn't get sent off?
Oh, geez.
Honestly, probably. If we could go into that,
I don't think the Kai Havertz one was as bad. It looked worse than it actually was.
I think the Udogie one was bad. I think if you can't go into a tackle like that, you can't do it.
I think there's a cross promotion with WWE and the Premier League coming, and they just said let them play.
I also just love Caicedo's goal. They called it off because Jackson was off, right? Because there's so much shit going on during the game. Yeah, by his butt was off. Which I just think is funny. But then they're like, goal.
You can't score with it. You can't score with
your butt. You're right. You're right. Thank you, Nick. I don't know why that made me laugh.
Every once in a while, I get one, Michael.
He was off. It was in Vicario's way. And they're literally like in the corner flag celebrating. And then it's a goal. They have the thing up, everything. And then you hear the whistle and the guy's just putting his flag up, which is crazy.
Well, that's the part that I think sucks about all of this is if you're going to call something offsides, call it offsides, but they're so delayed. And you know, it's bad. Anytime anyone in that game scored in the first half, they literally were turning around just to make sure that they didn't see a flag. Yeah. They didn't even go into celebration because they're new to look for it. And I think that's the part that sucks. And at this point too, because everyone's so critical of VAR and all that, and the officials, even VAR is taking 20 minutes because I think they're second guessing themselves when they actually have the technology in front of them. It's a disaster, right?
Dude,
now.
The Dyer one was so bad because I was sitting there watching and it's a minute and a half VAR check. And I'm looking at it and the people are literally going, it's closer than you think. It's closer. And I'm like, bro, he's offside. I can see it. He's offside. And then it comes up and he's offsides. Yeah, he's like, oh, it's pretty close. And I was like, no, it's not. I mean, this on TV when the lines are made for you on the pitch, kinda, it's not that hard to see. Yeah. You can see. It's the cross field ones where you have to be okay, this far and this far, whatever. So in the end, I think this one, obviously the result is the result. 11 against 9. I think it's tough to break 10 down. I don't think it's tough to break 9 down at all, especially with how Ange was playing. But people got sent off however you flip and turn on the calls should have been sent off, right?
Yeah. And as someone who has to play Spurs next week, them being out without four of their probably top players is not the worst thing in the world to see.
Very good. That's why they did it.
Speaking like a guy who thinks he's staying up.
I do think we're staying up.
Got him early.
It doesn't hurt if you're playing the second place team in the table and their best player, their best defender, and their best distributor of the ball both went down with hamstring injuries or whatever the hell it is. And then their other best players that have been impactful this year are gone on red cards. They lost half their back line. Granted, Romero's a wild card. I probably could have gotten a red card out of him for the Wolves to go up one. So that's where I wish he could probably stayed.
Unpopular opinion, maybe, from what I see. I don't think Romero's that good, to be honest. I think he's pretty reckless. The only comments, actually, John has two quick thoughts. Nicholas Jackson only should get credit for 1.5 goals. He said the other two should only count as half a goal. And then he thinks Chelsea fans will talk about this beating 9-man Spurs winning the Champions League. I actually don't think that. I think my one friend was Spurs were the better team. Like, we're so lucky that we were playing nine men.
Yeah.
So I think they're, I think they'll take it. And obviously this kills our over under, but I don't think they're going to be like blown away by this. Some of them, I guarantee some of them will, not all of them though. So on to the next one though, where you thought we were done with VAR. You're absolutely wrong. These calls were nothing compared to what we're going to go through now. Arsenal 0, Newcastle 1. Did that out of order, but who cares? Anthony Gordon, the only goal in the 64th minute. My goodness. Nick, gun to your head, in and out, or in or out, what was it?
In.
Okay. Dylan, not gun to your head. You can take some time.
I'm going to say out, but I think we're looking at the wrong part of the whole sequence.
Oh, no, we're going it step by step. Okay. And
I'll say out just to play devil's advocate. To be honest, you have no idea from that angle.
I mean, I'll have to bring up the Marcus Rashford more because I won't go there, but it's okay.
So, okay, I want to just so I can say my piece on this because you brought it up. People were comparing the two images of, like, the Rashford one. And they took an image from when Rashford kicked it forward a little bit. So it's like clearly on the line. And they're like, one was in, one was out. And then somebody was like, it got a community note, which is like, this is not the point where the ball was like actually out. They're like obviously trying to make it look like it's unfair. So whatever. I think I don't understand why we don't have like sideline technology. Is that hard?
That's a good point.
Just literally put a camera in the flag, like the NFL does with a pylon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think like we have it in the NFL. I think it's way, way easier to just do it the other way, right? Plus, it's like on the goal. It was the goal line side. It wasn't like the sideline. So I feel like it's really easy.
I mean, I think we're proving that technology and the Premier League don't go well together. Like, I think it doesn't even matter if you have it.
Guys, if we keep going down this road, we're going to get fined. So we got to be careful.
Yeah, we're going to get – that's my true hero. Gary O'Neill is my guy. All right. The only other one, I think even the offsides thing is really hard to tell. It's like they don't have the angles to show it. I thought everything was pretty much like if it's on – like, you know, they say like in the NFL, if it's called on the field, like they're going to stick with it. There's not enough evidence. The only one, I did see some angles of the Saliba and – or maybe was it Gabriel, the Joe Linton foul or whatever. Some of the angles look...
It was a foul.
Yeah, some of the angles look real bad.
I think he was trying to put him over the top rope. If we're going to stick with the WWE theme on that one.
He had his like backhand on the back of his head. He was like giving him a swirly.
Like, yeah, like, I mean, you can't... I don't know. I feel like there's some people who are saying that it's fine, but like... You can't just push the defender out of the way that clearly also had a chance at heading the ball. So then it doesn't become a goal. Like, I don't know. I think that's the part that should have been focused on. Like, even from Arsenal and Arteta when they're talking about it. I don't think people would be freaking out as much if that's where his complaint was as opposed to the ball being out or in.
Yeah, I don't – because that's the thing, too, where I'm annoyed with him. Well, I'm annoyed with him because, again, he is – no, none of those decisions, like obviously if one of those decisions gets overturned, it's not a goal. So you had three chances, but they're all very like, you know, black and white, you know, gray areas. He doesn't give a fuck that like an actual goal is like disallowed, you know, 3 weeks ago. He's like, oh, we just have to get on with it. But then in a situation where like it actually could be human error and like just a difference of opinion, he's like, no, they're fucking wrong. And I'm just like, brother, I don't have sympathy for you. Like, I think it was probably a foul. I don't know if the ball was out. I don't know if it's offsides. But you don't give me any room to, like, agree with you because you're just going scorched earth.
I think it's a foul. I think if you look at, though, the precedent that was set in the game, like, Bruno Guimarães was, like, punching people in the head and they were barely calling it. So, like, yes. At this point, the tone of the game was you could do whatever you wanted and it would have been fine anyway.
Guimarães was begging to get a red card that game. It was unbelievable how he finished the game.
That is the most red card of the weekend, right? That didn't get called?
Yeah.
Has to 100%. Be. I mean, he just straight up tried to fucking elbow the hell out of him. Yeah, but it's pretty funny that both undefeated teams, VAR controversy, get their first loss. Seems to be how undefeated teams go down in the Premier League this year. Any other thoughts about this game in general? I thought Newcastle were good. I thought Arsenal lack like so much going forward. I just think, again, it's overshadowed with the fact that VAR is so bad.
Picking Newcastle, not picking Newcastle at home, I'm thinking is starting to become a really, really bad idea.
They give up a lot less goals at home. Fucking fact.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Newcastle unders.
Newcastle unders, especially at home, unless they play Villa and then they score, what, like 5 goals?
Fair.
Yeah.
I think they can't do that again.
Probably not. I honestly don't think, unless they're playing Villa away again. So I guess we'll have to see. We'll move on to our medium tier games here. Nick, we'll start with you. Man United, Fulham. You guys got the dub. Bruno Fernandes goal late in the game to seal it. How'd you guys play? Did you play good? Did you play bad?
I feel like I'm constantly living in the meme of the dog sitting in the room burning, drinking coffee, saying everything is just fine. Like, I just feel like for the 2 hours a week I watch them play, that's literally what I feel like, you know? We were absolutely terrible. We were atrocious.
We were terrible.
No, we were terrible. The analogy, I kept trying to think of an analogy today, and I think it's like driving a car. Like, what would you guys say when you're driving your car? What is the most important component of your car that you need?
Well, my car is currently at the Honda dealership getting its engine fixed, so I'm biased to say engine.
Okay. I think battery, because without that, it doesn't turn on. Having had my battery just die a couple weeks ago.
tires are also pretty important. You can't go anywhere without them.
Does that mean my car's due this week for something bad to happen? A little nervous.
You also need a wheel to drive. There's a lot of important parts to a car.
Yeah, I don't know how this is gonna work for you.
You guys are not, you're not helping me whatsoever at all.
Yeah, bad analogy.
Are you trying to say
that you don't have any of those things? In which case, I'd agree.
I think he's going to say, unless the analogy was you need someone who can drive the car, you should have just not asked us and done that.
You need Ole to
drive the car.
I was trying to get steering wheel out of you, but it took you about, you went A, B, C, D, E, F, and then steering wheel.
Bro,
you know,
there are so many more important things.
Listen,
a steering wheel is important, but if you don't have an engine or a battery to even start the car, why do you need a steering wheel?
Do you know, like, the point of, like, me making analogies allowing me the chance to explain it?
All right, go for it.
The steering wheel gives you direction. Where you're going, right? Yes. Yeah, you turn left, you turn right, it gets you where you're going. We're not going to get into the real physics of this. Look, can you just I barely passed concept of physics in high school, so just let me have this one, okay? I'm not an engineer. All I'm saying is that there's a lack of direction, and it all comes from all these things that are going on. Everybody wants a defender. Everybody wants a striker. What we don't have... Because Rasmus Højlund is an absolute thoroughbred. And if you can't get him the ball because we can't control the midfield, we can't dictate play to be able to get him the ball in spaces that he wants, this is what it's going to be like. You know, whatever the midfield, the defense is not great. The attack is suffering, but if you don't have anything to put and link everything together, it's a disaster.
You have Antony.
Don't even get me started on that one. Like, I honestly, like, I hope he gets convicted and thrown in jail.
John,
like,
that's two. That's two people saying that.
Yeah, I don't wish that on many people, but, like, I'm here for that one. Like, I want him. He's the worst. But all I'm trying to get at is that the inability to control games is really, really killing us. You know, McTominay can play hard. Amrabat at least can run around. Why he didn't come on the second half to run around and try to control the game a little bit more was frustrating. But, I mean, we're not good. You know, we couldn't get a single ball into Højlund. The dude was running around like a maniac, and he was in great position. They couldn't get anything. Antony, like, why even bother, like, put, like, Robin was good because he could put the ball in the goal, and he was also built like an actual adult human being, like not 5'4", 63 pounds as a grown man.
Yes.
So it's just going to, this season is just going to suck to deal with. Like, it's just going to be brutal. Like, maybe we get going when everybody gets healthy. The 2 points I really wanted to make was one, I saw a statistic that United has been punished the most by VAR. We are at a -5, having goals chalked off and all that. Oh, Michael, you would be making the same complaint if it was you.
But hey, all of us can make arguments.
Yeah, you actually can't say that to me. I've been very consistent with VAR.
No, I know. But anyway, with that, and second, the Ten Hag out people are morons, complete and utter morons. Like, you know, is his loyalty a little misguided? Yes. Is he having a tough time maybe handling some bigger personalities? Yeah, probably. But if you think that firing him is going to solve any of these problems, you're an idiot. It's an absolute, I think you're a moron, because it's the fact that the players can do whatever they want. It's the fact that there's not quality recruitment really happening. And it's the fact that everything's a distraction outside the club. You know, everything needs to get run better. Firing the manager isn't going to do anything. It's going to get us bumped for a few games here and there. It's not going to coach. He knows what he's doing. He's a very good coach. It's not working this year.
I can make the argument. I can make the argument.
Of course you can. Shocker. Michael's got the argument. Go ahead.
I can make the argument that the first point you made is 100%. The players are doing whatever they want. He's the manager. Like, he has to sort that shit out. I'll give you that. He might not be able to get rid of people he wants to get rid of because the club won't let him. I will say that's the truth. But when you put 11 on 11, that's on him. And I know you have Johnny Evans and Harry Maguire back there, but, you know, I'm just saying. I do too. I've kind of felt bad for him. He was dealing with something in his eye all game.
I'm pretty sure he was concussed. I don't think firing him, I don't disagree with some of his, I said, like, his loyalty to some people is really misguided. Some of the tactics here and there, I think he's trying to do too much. You know, like, when you think you have to give, you know, do X, Y, and Z and try to mix in a little bit of that to make it different. Maybe going back to basics would be the best thing. But the firing him does no good. You know, you can go back and, yeah, this is cheesy, but, like, you know, look at Arteta and Arsenal. You know, they struggled and they stuck with them. Granted, they had a better, younger core of players and everything that we've highlighted many times on this pod. But sticking with somebody to see it through, you got to give him time. You know, Ole wasn't qualified. Jose is Jose. He has his track record. You know, let's give a guy who wants to be here for a long period of time, allow it to develop. Firing does only exacerbates the issue. So
I just don't know who you'd even get if you fired him.
Well, I mean, that's the factor too. I mean, they were talking about the guy from Sporting and Zidane. I'm like, dude, he ain't coming anywhere near this job.
Zidane is not Jesse Marsh.
No, he's not. Jesse Marsh, yeah, that'll be great. It's very frustrating. I have a tough time looking forward to games. It's very difficult to watch right now. And the fact that I bet it 3 times live, you know, paid off. Should have bet it the fourth time. They were +550 in the last 5 minutes. You just said, screw it, I'm going for it today. But they're going to wallow. If they can sneak into Europe, that's great. I just can't. And if they sneak into Europe, reduction of salaries again, I can see a huge issue with salaries being reduced. And for the first time I saw, again, the stuff goes around, Bruno is getting targeted in January by Saudi Arabia.
Dylan, if you don't have anything, I have a great question. Who goes first, Ten Hag or Jadon Sancho?
It's Sancho at this point.
Yeah.
You think so? I don't think the club will. He's not they're not going to get any return.
It's a loan. It's a loan. It's a loan move. They're not going to sell him.
No, I mean out of the club, like not on the books at all.
Oh, then Ten Hag.
I think I agree.
It's interesting. That's yeah. I don't know.
Put Nick's mind in a pretzel. He's about to everything you just said. He's gonna be like, get rid of Ten Hag.
No, he's gone. What I think's gonna happen, what will happen, obviously, are two different things, or you know. But if this goes on all season, I could see it happening. You know, but again, who are you gonna get?
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. But just right now, I don't think there's anyone to get. All right, Dylan, your turn. Sorry, unfortunate. I wish I came with better news. Sheffield United 2, Wolves 1. Goal for Cameron Archer, not Chris Archer, in the 72nd. Bellegard in the 89th. And then a very questionable Norwood penalty in the 90+10 to give the Blades their first victory. You always said that you were Robin Hood. Take from the rich, give to the poor. You definitely showed that today with that game. Feel really bad for Fabio Silva. Other than that, what are your thoughts?
So I only got to see the first half of this, which was, you know, the most exciting part of the game, obviously, at 0-0, because I had a one-year-old birthday party with limited phone access, unfortunately, other than you guys texting me, that shit was hitting the fan. I thought we played really well in the first half, not really well, but, we controlled the game and, had some moments type of part. It's the one thing that is unfortunate and why we're a Robin Hood club right now is we're a really good, I think, counter team. When we have the ball and have to break down a team that we are better than, we don't know how to do it. And it leaves a team that you should put away. It lets them hang around, which then allows dumb shit to happen at the end of the game like it did. Should have been a foul and a penalty? Absolutely not, in my opinion, from what I saw. I think it was soft, and I think it was VAR screwing us over yet again. But we shouldn't be putting ourselves in that situation whatsoever. And the fact that we gave those points away and with what just happened to Tottenham is why I actually am starting to talk myself into where we'll probably get points and steal points from Tottenham to just give them right back to Burnley in the week after. So I know we got into a little bit of a text exchange in the middle of the week about Wolves, and I still think we should be in a good spot and not be battling with some of the teams we're seeing right now in the relegation battle. I just think we need to figure out how to scrap things along until we get Pedro Neto back. I think obviously it's unfortunate that he's gone. With him there, I think we're a completely different team. We just have to figure out how we attack moving forward. But
first half,
I don't know what else to tell you. It sucks.
First half, you guys had basically a 1xG, which is pretty good. 7 shots, 2 big chances to their 0.01. So you guys definitely dominated the first half. Most of their XG came from their penalty, obviously. I think it was 0.8 or whatever. But you outplayed them, I thought. I don't... This is my thing with that the penalty is I've seen that given so many times. So, when I saw it, I was like, yeah, it's a penalty because, I'm conditioned to believe it's a penalty. But it doesn't... It's one of the ones that, doesn't feel right because I think he should have to touch the ball before... Yeah. Not just stand in front of the ball and get kicked. I think he should have to play the ball at least once. And then if you kick him, I guess that's fine. But every announcer, everything I was listening to and reading, they're like, yeah, this is, it's bullshit what people do to get that. But, you know, can't knock the guy for trying.
And Fabio was crying, and it's to the point where at least in the Wolf world, I feel bad. Everyone's over him. They want him gone, and it's really probably unfair to him, but people are very fed up with Fabio at this point.
Wonder kid,
listen, Nick, you need some strikers, right? You need people who can score, not score goals and run around.
Well, they have to pass on the ball to score goals. So
I have someone who's injured right now, but 100 million.
Which hamstring are we getting?
The good one or the bad one?
The good, yeah.
You guys will get the
I don't know what else to say about it. I don't know what to say about it. We should have won a game. This is what the Wolves do. It doesn't shock me. Yeah. Also, if it wasn't for the debacle that we'd already talked about in the Chelsea Spurs game, this would have been the one bet that lost for them just to either win or tie in a 10-game parlay. So I'm very happy that today happened, so I didn't have to be fully pissed off at the
fully
Wolves.
Fully absolutely over the Wolves. Nick, hey, you got something?
Hey, yeah, Dill, aren't you glad you beat City now?
Well, yeah. I'm also happy we tied Villa and Newcastle. Like,
for sure. Okay, so then we got Brentford, West Ham. West Ham without, I think, Paqueta and Edson Álvarez. Mainly Paqueta. Paqueta's their number one guy. It was exciting 3-2. Maupai got a goal. Holy shit. Own goal from the goalkeeper, unfortunately. Oh, no, this is not... I'm thinking of somebody else. Own goal from the West Ham defender. And then Collins with the goal. Kudus and Bone with the goal for West Ham. Brentford looked pretty good at home. West Ham, little fight back there, up 2-1 and end up losing it. But I thought this was a pretty exciting game considering these teams kind of both play on the counter.
There is, just looking at FOTMOD ratings for West Ham, outside of the two goal scorers and Kudus, so 8 of their 11 players are in the orange. Like, pretty rough there.
Yeah, Antonio with the assist, Bowen, and then Kudus with goals. And then, Ward-Prowse is almost, he's 6.9.
West Ham's just such a wild card right now. I mean, you know, having the tough week against Olympiacos, and everything last week, and then losing and then getting smoked by Villa, and then, you know, beating Arsenal, and then they're just all over the place. Like,
they're a mid-tier team.
It seems like they're probably the closest. So I think Dylan is quoting a conversation we were having. I think if they're a mid-tier team, they're top of tier three, the mid-tier.
That's fine.
But I think that then it becomes that tier has like 13 teams in it, and I need to make another tier because it's too many teams to be in one tier. But yeah, I think they're weird. They can beat pretty much anybody if it, you know, everything goes right, and they're kind of set up to beat big teams. But they're gonna lose. I mean, they lost to Everton, you know, at home, by the way, which is not good. Yeah, I think both these teams are very hit or miss, depending on the day. They could beat you. They could also lose to pretty much anybody. So, shout out to Brentford, though. I like Thomas Frank. I think he's cool. I like West Ham. I thought this was pretty much, you know, nobody gets hurt. Somebody who it seems like is going to get hurt pretty soon here, Vincent Kompany of Burnley, took a 0-2 loss to Crystal Palace. Jeffrey Schlupp and Tyrick Mitchell, 22nd and 90th minute. This was at home as well. He has to be top of the list, right? To get the sack.
Yeah, it's clearly not translating over from what he did in the championship. Like, at this point, I actually like truly think Luton have a better chance of surviving than Burnley right now, as things currently sit.
Yeah, in the alarming stat, Burnley have lost every home game they've played, 0-0-6. That's
normally how you go down.
It's not good. Not good, Bob. I mean,
And their thing too is, you know, this is like the complete opposite of last year, you know, where the bottom four, everyone else is starting to get run away from them a little bit. You know, Everton's up at 11 points, Luton is at 6 and they're at 4. So that it's really that bottom four of Luton, Sheffield, Burnley, and Bournemouth. And I'm going to be honest with you, if there's a time to make a move, this might be it, because you go Arsenal, West Ham, Sheffield, Wolves, Brighton, Everton, and Fulham. That's a run that if you do get a new manager in, there are points to be had there.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a more favorable run than they'll probably get the remainder of the season, because then you go Liverpool, Villa, Luton, City, Fulham, Liverpool, Arsenal. Like it's a rough go really through the rest of the next 6 or 8 games. So if they are to make a move, yeah, but do you think that they're just say, screw it, we'll go up, get the money, come down, go back up again, and we're going to stick with them?
I think that they are not they are not geared to do that. I think Sheffield United and Luton have definitely been preparing themselves for that probably inevitability. I don't think Burnley were preparing themselves to go down. So I think it's going to hurt them a lot more if they do.
I agree with that. Also, surprisingly, they still have Luton and Sheffield as worse odds to get relegated than Burnley. All three are minus, though.
Yeah, I think it's just because there's so much of the season left. Probably.
No, but like normally, like only because I look at this a lot over the past couple of years, you'll have a team that's like, you know, like Sheffield United is minus 750, but then like Bournemouth plus 120. Normally, like that's where Burnley should be. Like the fact that they have all three teams in the minus, like,
there's a lot of juice here,
is what I'm saying. Just interesting.
Everton, Brighton, 1-1 at Everton. I said last pod, if Brighton don't get this win, I have to officially be off the Brighton bandwagon, and I'm unhitching my ride. I don't know what their problem is. I can't. They don't seem very reliable anymore to me.
It's a really, I mean, going back to September, loss, draw, loss, win, draw.
European football for a team that's not normally in European football. Also, I think Everton is playing better. I know I've mentioned it. Like, I actually do think
Everton's definitely staying up.
Like Everton, Everton should have won that game.
Yeah.
I can't disagree. They're 20% possession. That's always so funny to see.
Yeah.
It's seeing that stat of 20% possession, and the other stat that I meant to mention before that I forgot that is that was absolutely wild is the Villa game. They had, let me get this right. Yeah, they had 10 corners to zero. Like, that's like those two stats and they both lost is insane.
Wild. Anything else other than Brighton not who we thought they were? I guess Everton also not who we thought they were completely.
Hey, do you think if I go downstairs when we're done with this and I ask Caroline how they're doing, do you think, one, she says, I don't know, or two, she tries to play it off like she knows how they're doing?
I think she says she doesn't know. I don't think she cares that much.
Yeah.
I think it's fair, too. I kind of want to ask him to see what happens anyway.
All right. City 6, Bournemouth 1, Jeremy Doku goal, Bernardo Silva goal in the 33rd and the 83rd, Akanji in the 37th, Foden in the 64th, Ake in the 88th. Sinisterra got one back in the 74th. This was an absolute beatdown, as we mentioned, due to the weak Jeremy Doku. 4 assists, 1 goal, 5 total contributions. He was unbelievable. He still only has a 9.7 on FotMob.
Well, yeah, pretty good. What else you got to do for that?
I think there's only one player. There was a charity match. Somebody got it, but Neymar is the only player that's ever gotten a 10. I think. And I think it was like a ridiculous fucking game.
Yeah, he needs the flop. Maybe that's why. Big injury. They'll get the 10.
Probably.
Can we just give City the championship? Like, it's just not even fun.
Dude, they beat Bournemouth at home. Come on. Like, don't.
No, it's just like, let's just. I don't know. I'm on the negative train. Like, let's just roll over and give it to him. Like,
Johnny said to me, Iraola has to be out after this. And I was like, for losing to you guys at Man City, like, I think this was just like a, you know, who cares? And he said 6 goals, though. And I was like, okay, so
they've done
two more than everyone thought they were going to score. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that big of a deal, I don't think.
They do it to United once a year now. Like, what's the big deal?
Yeah, you're the same as United, and you guys are mid-table. So, like, that's where Bournemouth want to be right now. They would love to be mid-table.
Yeah, you think that you're hurting me, but I'm already there.
Jeremy Doku, really fucking good. Man City, obviously, like, all the criticism of not scoring, all they needed was Jeremy Doku to just take the game over, I guess. Dylan, any last thoughts?
City's good.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we did those ones. 2 more left. Nottingham Forest, this was a big surprise. 2, Aston Villa 0. Ola Aina with a absolutely nasty goal from outside the box, kind of crosses body in the bottom corner. And then Oral Mangala, Harry Toffola with both assists for these. I was mentioning it before, Villa. Home, very good. Away, kind of stinky.
I don't disagree with that. I think also yeah. Nottingham Forest at home is also very good. Like the City Ground's a tough place to play. Yeah.
Well, so I also thought they would
shut them out.
I thought that too. They're like 1-3-0 at home, and their draws are like pretty. You know, I thought they kind of should have won. I think one of them is like to Burnley, and the other one is maybe like Brentford or something that they tied. But they haven't lost, and they always score. I think that was a big thing last year as well. I think this is more of a Villa thing, though, to be honest. I think this is for a team who is in fifth, and as we were mentioning my tiers of teams, I think I had them as a tier one team, especially if you play them at home. At away, they're like definitely mid-table, though. If every game was away, they would be like 12th or 13th.
I mean, again, you said, like, you know, you're talking about 10 corners, 13 shots. Like, and just watching the game, it was you never, even though they had all these corners, you never felt that they were ever really a threat to score, you know, which is pretty wild, because like you felt Forest was, you know, they were hitting on the counter, they were pretty efficient, they obviously absorbed a lot of pressure against 74% possession for Villa. You know, you would think a team of that quality would be able to put it in, or at least put, you know, test the keeper a lot. There was nothing of threat going on for them, especially the second half. It was just like, you felt like it was 15-0 and the game was just waiting its time out.
Nick, don't look at the stats. Can you guess how many passes Nottingham Forest completed? Sorry, total pass, 100. Not even completed.
Attempted. Passes attempted.
Attempted.
137.
Lower.
Stop.
Lower.
90?
Lower.
That can't be real. I don't know what this answer is, but I'm
damn it. Hold on. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was in second half. I was in second half. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say that's absurd. I just looked down. I was like
84 in the second half is what I was looking at, and then they had 156 in the first. That's still very, very low, by the way. To Aston Villa 654, which is pretty wild. Damn, I thought it was way worse than it was, but I was just looking at the wrong thing. I clicked the wrong.
You had a senior moment.
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah, I thought this was a crazy result. I think as all we all did, we bet on Villa to win. We thought this was gonna be easy money, and they sucked. So that sucks for us as well. Last one before we get out of here. Luton 1, Liverpool 1. As Nick mentioned, Chong in the 80th minute, Luis Diaz in the 90 plus 5th, saves ourselves a point. Looking, I don't know if I should be happy that we actually moved up in the table because of this, or upset that we could have moved up further. I think somebody said to me, who listens to this, they're like, stop pretending like you guys aren't going to just beat all these bad teams, because I always go like, please don't let it be us. And it literally for 15 minutes was going to be us. We were going to be the team that loses at Luton. So I don't really have anything else to say. I thought the team was overall terrible. My guy Darwin, I flipped his jersey out because I was mad at him. Cody Gakpo's there now. I saw a stat. He's only missed 10 only. Jesus. He's missed 10 big chances or 10 chances in the Prem. Watkins and Haaland have both missed 11. I can't imagine if you showed me all those misses, any of them would be as bad as some of Darwin's, though. I mean, I love him to death. He's electric, but he misses balls like right in front of the goal all the time. So I don't know if anyone watched this. Is this like good? I mean, it's obviously really good for Luton. Is this do anything for them the rest of the year?
No, I think it just shows that they still have fight. Like, I think it's what we already know is that like they can be punchy, especially at home. And like, I think the atmosphere is just different there. And I think it, because of it, it lulls teams like Liverpool sleep. Or some of these other big clubs that come in to sleep, thinking it's more of like a Carabao Cup type of game where they're just going to roll through. And the next thing you know, you're in the middle of a dogfight. Also, good teams tie them 1-1. It happens.
Yeah. Nick, anything?
I think it's just good. Yeah, I just think it's good to play a little more of the positive tune here. I think the fact that they could get a point out of a game that they obviously weren't counting on getting anything from, you know, it's a 38 game season. You never know, especially with the way these four seem to be shaping up at the bottom. Every point's going to be incredibly valuable, you know. So it's a point you didn't count on. So you got to, this has got to be like a win to them.
For sure. I think it was, we had 2.85 expected goals, 24 shots, 6 on target. Yeah. I mean, I think we could play bad and still put up good statistics, I guess, because you're playing Luton. I did not feel 2.85 XG at all watching that. Like, I was not like, we should have 3 goals or anything. I mean, two from maybe Darwin, but I thought Salah was pretty bad in general. And then Van Dijk now is, I guess, because Saliba got dribbled by. He's the only goalkeeper that hasn't been dribbled past in the Prem this year. I don't know what that stat means. Like one-on-one dribbled by? Or, like, I think it's such a weird statistic. I just don't really care. Like, I just looked that we just gave up a goal to Luton Town. Like, I could care less.
I didn't even know that was a statistic.
Yeah, I
don't know what it means.
It seems a very, because I've been confused by it too. It's like, it just seems very subjective. It's like, you have to, it's basically like a take on, you go at them, you make a move, and then you have to get past them without being challenged. It's like a very subjective, like, stat.
So there is like, there is a statistic that they do count that is like, times dribbled past, but I just don't, I think it's another thing where it's like, why would you try to target him in our defense and not like Trent or, you know, somebody else? I guess it seems like a skewed stat. It seems like it could be like a lot of caveats to it, so I don't really put a ton of weight into it, I guess. But, you know, good for Luton, good for them. That was agony. Morgan, I was sitting on the couch with Morgan and she's like, Michael, look at this funny TikTok. And I looked at her. I was like, we're losing right now. Like, don't talk to me. I love you, but this would be like historic levels of loss right now. Like, I can't deal with it. But anyway, that's the Prem. That's the wrap up. No undefeated teams now. The table currently: Man City, Spurs, Liverpool, Arsenal, Villa, Newcastle, Brighton, Man United, Brentford, Chelsea, top 10. Palace, West Ham, Nottingham Forest, Wolves, shout out to you guys. Fulham, Everton, Luton, Bournemouth, Burnley, Sheffield United. We had a horrible week predicting. Everybody was 2-8. I was 4-6. That was the best week. We were all under 500. And sad news, Dylan, you are now at 500. Still 500, but... We need you to pick it up, because then we can't say everybody on the pod is over 500. So that's your homework for the week. Your homework that was due today, though, give us your bets that you have. Do you have any?
So I've talked myself. Well, first off, since we're talking some MLS on Wednesday night, we will be taking the Philadelphia Union plus 180 to go wrap that shit up and go move on to the next round. So dupe. And then because of myself talking into this, it's not going to happen, but I kind of want to throw money on it just in case. I will be taking a draw plus 265 in Wolves versus Tottenham.
Ooh.
Plus 265. That's not bad.
So we'll see. I wouldn't put all your money on that one. Nick's about to.
Nick's going to live bet it 6 times.
I think the other thing we'll start doing, I know I've texted you guys, is there's been a lot of ladders going on, and I kind of want to get in on the fun from a soccer perspective. Problem is, when we record on Monday, I don't know what I want to do yet for the week. So I'll try and give updates, but I think we kick that off.
But you're going to do like a Monday ladder every Monday?
Like, this will be over 5 weeks. We'll pick a game on Saturday, a game on Sunday, I'll pick my two favorite, like, when we get closer, and maybe we put it out later in the week, because I'd like to see more of the lines and do some research for it, and we'll see if we can do this over the next 5 weeks and go 10 to 10 and see what happens.
All right, I got
you. I'll pay for Christmas gifts. I like it.
Pay for a lot more than that.
So true. All right, Dylan, get us out here with a joke.
No predictions?
Oh, shit. See, that's why we need John. All right. First game, I was like, damn, we're doing pretty good on time, and then I forgot the whole aspect of the pod. Wolves Tottenham. I got Spurs, sorry. I know you're all high on this, but I think they're still better.
It's fine. I'm taking Spurs too, because that's just what I do.
3-3. Spurs.
Also, I just want to say, and I know I don't want to criticize him because he's in Aruba right now. He just ran a marathon, and he does literally all the editing and all the work for this.
But I'm gonna do it anyway.
Might have had a different pick, but we have to stick to these picks now because we had to get him in before he left.
That's why I have
So I was like Spurs for sure, and now I'm kind of like, ah, man.
Ty sounds nice.
Yeah,
it does. I know.
Arsenal host Burnley. I got the Gunners here as well. I think Burnley. The misery continues.
Yeah. Give me Arsenal.
Yeah, Gooners.
Everton Crystal Palace. Dylan, why don't you go first?
I believe in them right now. Give me the Toffees.
The Toffees. Nick?
I wanted to take the Toffees, but if this is at Goodison, I would take Everton. I'm taking a draw because it's a Palace.
Fair.
I got the Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. I think this is actually, if you gave somebody the job of just predicting Crystal Palace results, I think they would be like insanely under 500. I think it's so hard to predict their games. But I'm going to go with the Eagles. Man United hosting Luton Town. Nick, I got Man United.
Well, you're an idiot. I'm an idiot too. I took United. I'm not excited about it, but.
You're not Luton. You'll win. United.
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
My headphones went out. I'm still recording, though. You guys are good. Bournemouth hosting Newcastle United. I got Newcastle.
Geordie Shore, baby.
Let it rip. Same one.
Something tells me we all have the same picks this week.
Because that worked out so well for us last week.
I did the
one. All right, Aston Villa hosting Fulham. I got the Villains on this one. They're at home, so I'm hoping that they don't fuck this up. Only away, they're bad.
Yeah, take Aston Villa, and I should have added this in there. Whatever the over 3.5 is, you should take that too. There's always 4 goals when they're home.
Villains, same. Retweet.
Perfect. We're hanging on by a string right now. Brighton hosting Sheffield United. This, actually, Brighton, if you lose this one, I'm done with you forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
Agreed.
They need
to get back on the horse. I also just looked ahead. We all have the exact same picks, by the way. Like for every game.
I think this one's pretty, like, it seems pretty straightforward. This is like incoming 3-7 week for everybody.
You know what that means? That we all have to bet $5 on everything.
We'll do a money line parlay. I'll throw it in there for us.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
All right, Liverpool hosting Brentford. I think this is a bounce back. It's at Anfield. We don't lose there. Fuck, why'd I say that? I got Liverpool.
Same. Yeah.
Scousers.
West Ham at home, hosting Nottingham Forest. Again, I think this home away logic applies here. I got the Hammers.
Yeah,
bubbles
established.
And City.
And then City going to Chelsea. No shot, right? City?
Yeah.
Gotta be City.
All right. Well, so we avoided a mostly train wreck of this episode. John's going to be super happy to see and listen to this. He will be back, I promise, at some point. Dylan, now that I haven't fucked this up a second time, get us out of here with a joke.
We've been talking a lot about offsides and whatnot. So, you know, soccer is the only sport that's not a game of inches. It's a game of feet. Cheers.